Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for the Rami and Tim Show with your hosts, Rami Makhlouf and the franchise, Tim Allen.
Hour two of the Rami and Tim Show on 1250 AM The Fan. Still plenty to get to this afternoon. Andy Herman of the Pack a Day podcast, he's going to join us coming up at 4 o'clock. And of course, we have Mock Draft Madness and Draft Mockery coming up for you at 4:45. Huge swing in the vote from yesterday's Draft Mockery, wow. Tim. Huge, huge swing in the vote. Evan Heffeltaco was out to a healthy lead.
Yeah, he was.
And I just did a little bit of campaigning on Twitter this morning.
Okay.
Just a teeny weeny bit. I just said, I can't believe that a chicken gringo taco is winning the vote. I said, you have better taste than this, Milwaukee. I was just, you know, calling out the real taco people out there. And a huge swing in the vote after that. We'll give you the results. Big ballot dump is what happened.
I'm going to have a baseless claim of voter fraud here.
We're allowed to campaign, man. You have a Twitter account. Evan has a Twitter account. I'm not the only one with Twitter and people who I can reach and shamelessly ask for their vote. I just use the resources that we all have at our fingertips. I didn't do anything untoward. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from Forbes.com and Heavy.com, NBA right over there. Pleasure to welcome in Sean Devaney for his first visit to the Rami and Tim Show. What's up, Sean? How are you, man?
Hey, how are you guys? Congratulations on the show.
Thanks, appreciate it. Was Chris Middleton snubbed? Around here, everybody thinks Chris Middleton was snubbed, but these other reserves, we don't see them on a day-to-day basis. You see them more than we do, Sean. Does Chris Middleton have a case here?
Yeah, I think the way to look at it is that there's a long line of snubs, and Chris Middleton is in that line, but he's probably not at the front of the line. I appreciate what Nick Vucevic has done for Orlando this year, and he was sort of the last All-Star to get in, and Middleton could make a case that he belongs there. Before Vucevic. However, there's a few guys in the East who probably could make that case as well. Most notably would be Tobias Harris. I thought he was somebody who really deserved it. Bam Adebayo from Miami. I'd probably put Milton behind those guys in terms of the list of snubs. But if you're just going head to head, you know, should Middleton have made it before Nick Vucevic? Absolutely. So in that case, yeah, you could definitely say he was snubbed. I just think there's probably some guys who were snubbed even before him.
Overall, just a general kind of feel, national perspective of Chris Middleton, because this has been going on for a few years. Got a nice payday. One of very few players that they're going after 50% from the field, 40% from three, 90% from the charity stripe. He's having a career year in assists, and he's right there with all the other numbers. Is he maybe a little underrated? We talk about big threes, and you know, maybe he's a three. Some people say he's a two in that big three scenario. Do we underrate, or is he underrated as, you know, maybe a potential one of those big threes?
Yeah, I think he is, especially when you look at the improvements that he's made in his game in terms of his ball handling, in his passing. Like, that was probably the big thing. He came into the league pretty much as a 3-and-D guy. Like, that was his thing, was he could play good defense. That's how he stuck with Detroit, and that's why John Hammond, when he traded for him back, you know, eight, 9 years ago, that's what they were looking for. And they thought that given him that opportunity, but it turns out that he could do a lot more than that. And certainly his ball handling and his passing, like, that has just grown by leaps and bounds. And you can see he's so much more confident in that aspect of his game now. And to me, that's what you want from your number two, is a guy who can not only shoot and score, who can not only get to the rim, as Chris can, but who can do other things. You know, if his top line assets aren't working, can he still be an excellent contributor to the game? And I think there's no question that that Chris has established that he can do that. So yeah, you know, I would be comfortable with him as my number two guy on any team, really.
Talking with Sean Devaney, NBA writer for Forbes.com and Heavy.com. That being said, Sean, and everything you just said right there is true. I look, and maybe sometimes you have a skewed view of a guy because you're inside a bubble, and that can go for better or for worse. So maybe I'm off here in this analysis. But when I look at the Bucks' big two or big three compared to Brooklyn, or compared to the Lakers, or compared to the Clippers, I'll just go with those three for right now. Obviously, the Bucks have the number one guy. Giannis has won back-to-back MVPs, and you don't win back-to-back MVPs unless you're a bona fide number one. I just don't think that the Bucks, when you look at the top of a roster and the top two or three guys, measure up to KD, Harden, and Kyrie, or measure up to what the Lakers put out there with LeBron and AD. Don't measure up to Kawhi and Paul George and the other guys that they have there on the Clippers roster. Am I off in that assessment? Am I not giving Chris Middleton enough credit in that assessment?
No, I mean, look, if the second, if you're going to compare him as a number two option to, you know, James Harden, or you're going to compare him to Paul George, he's going to fall short, no question about that. But, you know, okay, then what? You know, I mean, look around the rest of the league and tell me how many other number two options are as good as Chris Middleton. You know, I mean, the Warriors won 73 games with Klay Thompson as the number two option. I would argue that's about where Chris Middleton is right now.
Okay.
He's about Klay Thompson right now. So yeah, I mean, if you want to take the first three or four 1-2 punches in the NBA, you know, Chris Middleton is not Anthony Davis, obviously. But you know, beyond that, I'd put him up against anybody. You know, really. I mean, after those first three or four, I think he's right there with anybody. You know, it's hard to get stars to come to your team in the NBA. It just doesn't happen that much. There's only, you know, 15, 16, you know, really true stars. And then after that, you know, you've got to have a guy like Middleton. If you can't get one of those, like, top-line stars, you've got to be able to get a guy like Middleton who pretty much puts up the kind of numbers that a star does, even though he's not technically what you'd call a star because of, you know, name recognition, all those sorts of things. But he's right there, I think, with anybody once you get past those first three or four teams.
All right, we look into your crystal ball now. The second half schedule just released, and we see, you know, back-to-backs for the Bucks against Philly. We see back-to-backs against the Nets, and some nice little tune-ups. There's a back-to-back there against Boston. Nice tune-ups for Milwaukee heading into you know, a playoff picture that didn't have them, or that at least right now doesn't have them as the best record in the East, or nonetheless all of basketball. How do you see this East playing out? I think there's probably a little more clarity in the West. Well, maybe not, though, with Utah making a strong, strong run. But in the East, though, now, everything given, and again, trade deadline and all that, outspoken, what happens in the East in your crystal ball?
Yeah, I think the East is a bit of a mess, and it was always going to be that way. But I think with the addition of you know, no home court advantage, and no co and what we've seen, with teams being affected by COVID, You know, you think about it, like Miami was going to be one of my top teams for sure. Boston would be one of my top teams for sure. Even Philadelphia, you know, was going to be one of my teams, and they still are. I mean, the top of the Western Conference, top of the Eastern Conference. But they've been all those teams have been really badly affected by the COVID stuff. You know, with players sitting out, and then it just interrupts your continuity and things like that. The East is really difficult to figure out. I think if you're a team, you're just sort of like, even if you're Miami, you know, who was in the Eastern Conference, who was in the NBA Finals last year, you're just trying to hope that you can get to the playoffs, and then all bets are off, right? Because you don't have the home court advantage. You don't, and we've seen the effect that that's had. I just think that right now that the Eastern Conference is such a toss up. I'm not worried about where the Bucks are, to be honest with you. I think that, you know, the talent, when they get Drew back, you know, as they make these defensive changes, I'm very encouraged by the fact that Coach Budenholzer has sort of relented on sort of his, you know, he could be pretty strict about what he wants and about making adjustments, but he's done a lot to adjust their defense. So you know, I look at where the Bucks are right now and where the rest of the East is, and I think they're not in that bad of a position. They're making some changes that they should make. The rest of the East isn't running away from them. You know, Brooklyn is the team everybody should be worrying about. But in general, you know, I would feel pretty good about where the Bucks are right now.
We've seen, talking with Sean Devaney, NBA writer for Forbes.com and Heavy.com, we've seen the Sixers look good before, and we know the talent is there with Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and Tobias Harris. This year, Daryl Morey takes over the front office. They bring in Doc Rivers to be the head coach. Are you buying this Sixers team this time, or is this another flash in the pan for a team that, since the process started, has kind of been letting folks down and falling short of expectations? Is this season different?
It's not different in that it all depends on whether Joel Embiid is healthy or not. I mean, that's been really what's determined what they're going to do. You know, is he gassed at the end of the season? I mean, he's been playing great. If he keeps that up, if his conditioning is where it's supposed to be, and he keeps playing the way that he is, then absolutely they can challenge Brooklyn, you know, because they don't have a center who can guard that guy. And when the game slows down and it becomes a half court game in the playoffs, then absolutely I think Philadelphia is as dangerous as anyone. But it all depends on whether Joel Embiid is healthy, and he just hasn't been. You know, it's been 6 years in the NBA, and just never really been fully healthy and fully conditioned in the playoffs. So if that changes, then yeah, Philadelphia's a very dangerous team.
Sean, this is a new one on me, this whole clutch metric. And I've been keeping an eye on this thing and trying to make heads or tails out of it with the Milwaukee Bucks here. Part of that has been Giannis at the charity stripe. However, if we count last night's game, he's, for the month of February, he's over 75% at the line, which is amazing from what he's been the last year or so. And I don't blame other teams in that clutch metric area, under 5 minutes, within 5 points, where you just hack him, throw him to the line. He's improved that now. When you look at Giannis, does he get enough protection with regards to superstar calls? I don't think he does. I watch and follow every single Bucks game the last few years. I don't think his coaching staff sticks up for him. I don't think his teammates stick up for him in that regard. He can only do so much on the court. Do you see that nationally, that he just, you know, he has two offensive calls in the first half just about every game? You just don't see that with the other stars.
No, I agree with that. Yeah. And you know, some of that comes to Giannis himself, right? That, you know, I don't like having to say this, but it's true that you've got to complain in the first and second quarter to get the calls in the fourth. I mean, it's like, you know, like a pitcher, you know, in the first inning, you know, you talk to the umpire, you massage the umpire, you work things a little bit so that
John
when
Lester.
You get to the sixth, seventh inning, you're getting those calls. And I think that's the same thing with the basketball game, that you've got to massage those referees in those first couple quarters to get the calls late. And it's never been Giannis's personality. It really hasn't. And I hate to say like he's too nice a guy, because I don't like putting it that way. It's just like he's just so focused on the game that I don't think that he thinks about like what I need to do now to make these guys get on my side later. And I think that's part of the problem. But if you want to put it the way that you're putting it, I think you're right, that maybe the coaching staff, the other players, those are the ones who should be doing it.
Sean, back around to the All-Star game, should this game even be being played? At first, when I heard they were playing an All-Star game, I was like, well, that's crazy. And then I heard the financial case that the league and the Players Association, Chris Paul included, made that, LeBron, Giannis, those guys that are getting the Supermax deals, they're going to be fine. But for the financial health of the league and the guys lower on the totem pole in the Players Association, this money that they make, and it's a larger sum of money than I thought. I remember reading an article about this a week or two ago, is crucial to guys getting paid throughout this league and not just at the top end of the Players Association. And that kind of swayed me, and I said, okay, if they're safe enough about this whole thing, I guess it makes sense to play it. But then I found out they're going to have all the festivities, the slam dunk contest, the three-point contest. Then I flipped back to the others. I was like, okay, now this is kind of crazy. Where do you fall on whether or not the All-Star game and all the festivities should be happening, Sean?
Look, I mean, the fact is that when you come to the broadcasters and what actually gets watched, it's as much the three-point contest and the dunk contest, the dunk contest on that day as anything else. So I understand where they're coming from. Here's the thing, is that the CBA is set up so that every dollar that comes in, 50 cents goes to the players, 50 cents goes to the owners. So in the end, if the players, when LeBron and James Harden and all those guys were complaining about the All-Star game when the news first hit, but the Players Association had already approved it,
right,
then I kind of knew that like they were speaking out of turn, because the Players Association would not approve it unless they knew that they needed this to make it good for everybody in the union. And I think once that case was presented to everybody, it was a no-brainer. And that's the case. It's the same thing. So like when they decided to start on December 22nd, rather than sometime in January or February as was originally predicted, a lot of players complained about that. And then the union said, look, if we can get Christmas Day games on the broadcast and all that, then we get this much money. If we don't, if every dollar that comes in, 50 cents goes to the owners, 50 cents goes to the players, as long as that's the case, then the union can always make the case, the same case that the league does, and that is that we need to do this because it's good for everybody.
That's Sean Devaney, NBA writer for Forbes.com, Heavy.com, and our guest for the last few minutes here on the Rami and Tim Show. Sean, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for the time.
Okay, thanks, guys.
And he joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If applying for a home renovation loan has you feeling anxious, just breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of banquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com. This segment of Rami and Tim brought to you by Jim Dandy's, South 27th Street in Oak Creek. Try one of the best fish fries during Lent, along with their delicious steaks and seafood in their remodeled dining room takeout, available at jimdandysgrill.com. That's Jim Dandy's, South 27th Street in Oak Creek. So was Chris Middleton snubbed? We're going to make the case for and against right after this. Rami and Tim, 1250 AM The Fan. Rami and Tim, 1250 AM The Fan. Our thanks to Sean Devaney from Forbes.com, Heavy.com. Join us to talk some Bucks and NBA just a moment ago. If you missed that, get that totally free, handy dandy, radio.com app. Like The Fan, take us with you wherever you go, and use the rewind feature to listen to whatever the hell you please, whenever the hell you please. Coming up, we'll talk with Andy Herman, Pack-A-Day Podcast and PackerReport.com. He joins us at 4. And yesterday, Tim, the All-Star reserves were named. And I think that the initial knee-jerk reaction of people in Milwaukee who watch the Bucks on a day-to-day basis, well, it's one of two things. And you've pointed this out a number of times. Chris Middleton is a very polarizing thing in terms of what people think around here about him. But I think the knee-jerk reaction of a lot of Bucks fans and people around here was, oh, he was snubbed. That guy was snubbed. And a lot of radio hosts would just jump on that train, just jump on that bandwagon and be angry right along with you and say, yeah, he was snubbed, because they think that's what you want to hear. I'm willing to enter this discussion, this debate, with an open mind, Tim, because we don't watch every team in the NBA every night and these guys who were named All-Star Reserves yesterday over Chris Middleton. So I asked the biggest Chris Middleton fan that I know, Evan Heffleton, to compile some stats of Chris Middleton and some of the other guys who were reserves or who could have been reserves. And Evan has done just that and is here to present the case for and against Chris Middleton being an all-star or an all-star snub. So let's start with Middleton himself, Evan. What do the numbers look like as you did a little delving into this today? What do the numbers look like for Chris Middleton?
So he's averaging over 20 points a game, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, which for a small forward, that's
a really good season.
And a 50-40-90 split, 50-43-90 to be exact. So already a historic shooting percentage.
Wouldn't he be only the ninth player in the history of the NBA to do that? I think I read that today in Jim Ozarski's article at JS Online.
Yeah, okay. One of those being Malcolm Brogdon, of course.
Yes.
Those numbers would get you an all-star just about every single year.
Yes.
I forgot how good the Eastern Conference is now.
Well, how good players in the Eastern Conference are. Well, the Eastern Conference as a whole has not been impressive.
And the problem is scoring is up. Well, I guess it's not a problem. Scoring is up so much that it helps a lot of players look really good.
Sure. Absolutely.
The two guys that Sean mentioned, Tobias Harris, he's averaging 21-8-3 on almost 50-40-90 shooting, which is much better
really
than he did
good.
Last year.
Okay. But still, that's really good.
Bam Adebayo, averaging 20-10-6. So 6 assists from the center position is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
57% shooting, 84% from the line, which is great for a center. Then there are the guys who got a lot of hype earlier in the season. Like a guy like Jeremy Grant. He's averaging 23 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and he didn't make the team. I don't know if he even got many votes. Like a guy like Colin Sexton, a young up-and-coming guard, averaging 23-4-4 on 50-40-80 splits. And I doubt he was anywhere close to making the lineup. Just looking, a guy like Russell Westbrook, who is averaging almost a triple-double, a 20-point triple-double, he didn't make the team.
I kind of forgot he was in the Eastern Conference because I don't even think about the Washington Wizards, man. Yeah.
For some weird reason, they decided to pick Chris Paul over Devin Booker, which shows that sometimes they like to go for the old head over the rookie, which why would you not put Russ on that team then since they love to put him in? But another one that Hawks fans are pissed off.
Trae Young
didn't make it. But if you watch Trae Young this year, you'd realize why he did not make the All-Star team, even though he's averaging 27 points, 10 assists, which is really good. The one guy that I could consider... I don't understand why he's an all-star is Ben Simmons. He's averaging 16-8-8.
See, man, I got to say, and I'll open up the phone lines right now. Do you think Chris Middleton was snubbed? I think I've heard enough from Evan to say no. 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. It sounds to me, Tim, and Sean Devaney basically said the same thing. Like, yeah, you could make the case that Chris Middleton was snubbed, but you could probably make a better case for 3 or 4 guys that they were snubbed ahead of Chris Middleton, that they should have gotten those spots. And you're always going to run into this. There's always going to be debate about the bottom part of a roster and the reserves when we're talking about all-star games. And, Tim, what I just heard from Evan, I don't think Chris Middleton was deserving of an all-star spot this year.
You know,
it's not to say he hasn't had a good year.
If he was snubbed, it's just barely. I mean, we shouldn't react as if it's a landslide. Man, he's snubbed, and this is an injustice here on the voting, and how did it get like this? And Milwaukee gets no respect. No, it's if he is snubbed and was snubbed, it's super, super close. As our last guest put it, you know, get in a line. There's been other guys that have been snubbed as well. And it just more confuses and muddies up the waters with the big debate in and around the city of Milwaukee. in the state of Wisconsin on Chris Middleton. What is it about Middleton that the one side is not seeing? Is it the flash? Is it the name rec? Is it, what is it? Is it marketing? Is it he's just not cool enough? He doesn't do the right endorsements? I mean, what is it for that side? And I'm not saying I'm on either side. I think he's a fine player, but I'm again, I'm not convinced he's a number two at all on an NBA final team. I think he should be a three, and then you're sitting in pretty good shape. So you got to get that other guy in Milwaukee, whether it's Holiday or another guy. But I'm just, this is more confusing now than ever because you get Sean Devaney that says, you know what? Don't underestimate this guy. He is a two.
Yeah, but he
same
also
thing said, Evan said well, around a couple of days ago when he said, look around the league. Let's go over the number twos. There's only, you know, maybe three or four that would have a better one-two punch.
No, but Tim, Sean kind of confirmed what you and I are saying because I said compare him to the Brooklyn Nets, the Lakers, the Clippers, and how does Chris Middleton compare to the twos in those big twos and big threes? And he said, well, yeah, you can't compare him to those teams, but if you look around the rest of the league, I don't want to look around the rest of the league. I didn't need to have this That's argument true. With Sean because he basically gave me what I was looking for. The rest of the league ain't winning the championship. I don't need to look around the rest of the league. I can tell you right now, if the Bucks don't win the championship, it'll be the Brooklyn Nets, or it'll be the Los Angeles Lakers, or it'll be the Los Angeles Clippers. So I don't need to look at the number twos and threes of other teams around the league and say, well, how does Chris Middleton compare to them? It doesn't matter how Chris Middleton compares to them. We want to win championships, man. We want to hang banners in the Fiserv Forum. We don't want to be runners-up.
About time you start talking like that.
Because there this is go. A champ. Because this is a team with an MVP that should be a championship caliber basketball team.
He did give you some encouraging news. Is that the East is a little bit of a mess, and so it's so unpredictable that, once you know it, you get the best record in the NBA the last couple of years heading into the playoffs, and you underachieve. Okay, well, I got a feeling here that. You know, in large part because Middleton, again, the same thing. That's going to drip off into the Bucks. They're going to underrate and underestimate. Well, then they're not what they used to be. You know, they're on the downslope of their peak. I think it's going to work the other way, where expectations are not on this team. And watch Middleton. When we've seen Middleton get scorching hot, guys, and just smooth as silk. And if that happens at the right time, maybe he gets his due then. Maybe he gets his due when it's center stage, Rami, Evan, when it's center stage in the finals, because that does mean a lot, guys, for your street cred, your NBA exposure, all of that. You know, the playoffs are one thing, but maybe that's one of the reasons why we're swayed to think a certain way is because we don't see him discussed too much on NBA TV. We don't see him discussed too much unless it's our own broadcast. So maybe there's an NBA Finals in them that Middleton gets paid off that way.
I saw when the trade went down, Tim. I don't know how realistic it would have been for the Bucks to put together a package for James Harden to keep him away from the Brooklyn Nets, but also to give you a true number two to Giannis. Because imagine if you have Giannis and then James Harden is the number two, and then Chris Middleton is bumped down to the number three. This is like when I talk about pitching rotations, Tim. When you go get a one, when you go get a true number one starter, and now you've bumped the guy who was your number one starter down to number two, you're better in that slot. You bumped your number two guy down to number three, you're better in that slot. And so on and so forth down the line, maybe even impacting your bullpen. If you bump Chris Middleton down one spot in terms of his importance to the team and his status in a big two or a big three, and now you have Giannis, James Harden, and Chris Middleton is your three guy. Now compare Chris Middleton to guys who are number three on other teams, and now we're talking. Now you're better than other teams at the one spot, at the two spot, and at the three spot. Right now, you cannot say that. They should have done everything that they could have possibly done. And again, I don't understand NBA trades or salary caps or anything else. If they didn't, they should have put together whatever package they could and done everything they could have done to get James Harden in a Bucks uniform.
And I understand what the numbers say also on the other side, though, Rami. I get that part. Averaging 20.5 points a game, has played in every game this year. You can count on that guy to be on the floor. He's averaging 6 boards flat, 5.7 assists this year, a career high, a 50% from the field, 40% beyond the arc, 90% from the line. When you look at those types of numbers, yes, you could say that he's snubbed. You do have to do the comparison, though, and we just went through that. But when you look at the numbers, I think I might be leaning toward Evan here that, you know, in a perfect world, yes, as a 3, then you know you got a monster 1-2. If, geez, Middleton with those numbers is your 3,
yeah.
Look out. You've
yeah.
got a 1-2.
That'd be awesome.
No, and I understand that. But you don't have that, and you don't. You only have those numbers to look at, and those numbers are pretty impressive. They really are.
Let's get in Lewis on the north side. You're on the Rami and Tim Show. What up, Lou?
Fellas. Well, it's like I've been saying for the last 2 weeks, this guy is a $36 million mistake. You know, it's bottom line. The numbers are great, but we have to realize he's putting up those numbers playing alongside the best player in the world, right? So, and if he's putting up those numbers, like I said before, he has to raise them in the playoffs. And whoever voted these all-stars in knows, hey, Chris don't have it. Because if I'm the Bucks, I'll trade Chris Middleton for a lot of these players head up, and the other team is going to say no. And they're going to say no because Chris Middleton doesn't measure up to them guys. I mean, the Chris Middleton's number one fan right there, Evan, he tried to convince us that Chris was snubbed, and he convinced you that he wasn't.
Well, actually, no. Evan just put together a fair and unbiased case for all the players. That's what I asked him for, and that's what he gave us.
And then you had this NBA writer who said this guy was as good as Klay Thompson, which we all know is not true. You know, I'll gladly give up Middleton for Klay Thompson, and the Golden State Warriors are going to go tell me the pound sand. You know it, and I know it. So, like Middleton, he just doesn't have it. He's not fast. He's not, you know, he doesn't jump high.
He doesn't do the things that make a basketball player, is what you're saying, Lewis.
Well, I'm telling you, like, what I'm saying is we can get a whole bunch of other guys to be the number two alongside the best player in the world. However, we're paying a guy $30-something million who should really be, in everybody's agreement right now, a number three option, not a mm-hmm. number two. So we're trying to make him be this, you know, big guy number two, and he doesn't have number two credentials. He has number two stats, but when the ball's on the court, when we need the basket, Middleton is going to be absent. He's going to put up 7-8 points in a do-or-die playoff game. This is evidence-based, fellas.
Lewis, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Evan, you got a retort?
The floor is yours.
That didn't sound very evidence-based. It sounded very emotionally based.
A little of both.
I don't think Chris got snubbed this year. I think in a regular season, his numbers would be all-star caliber.
Yes.
But the play has increased, at least individually.
That's what I told you yesterday.
Increased so much.
Your initial reaction was
that
he got snubbed because you said he's having an even better year than the last 2 years when he made the All-Star game. And I said, Evan, Chris Middleton doesn't exist in a vacuum. And just because he improved doesn't mean that other guys didn't also improve and take leaps ahead of him.
I mean, it was just my instant reaction. And then just looking at the stats, it's obvious that he did not get snubbed. Should he be an All-Star? In a perfect world, yes, because the numbers are all-star worthy, but there are a bunch of other players that do have better numbers than him.
Yeah,
although saying that the Bucks would offer the trade for Chris Middleton for all the other all-stars and they'd say no is just laughable. If the Bucks went to the Knicks right now and said, hey, Chris Middleton for Julius Randle, the Knicks would do that in an absolute heartbeat.
I want to get back to some Bucks talk, but we have breaking news in Watt Watch. Rami and Tim, 12:50 a.m. The Fan. Packers fans have a dream, and it's J.J. Watt in green and gold. This is the Rami and Tim Show on 12:50 a.m. The Fan. And to that end, Tim Allen, the latest in Watt Watch today.
Yes, sir.
On Wednesday, February 24th. Andrew Filippone, host of the Pony Express, which, strong name, I have to say. strong name for a radio show when your name is Andrew Filippone. And I was actually listening to Andrew a little bit on CBS Sports Radio on the drive back from Minneapolis right here on 1250 AM The Fan. And he had John Clayton on the show, formerly of ESPN. And John Clayton, who is now with 710 ESPN in Seattle and has tied into anybody in the NFL still to this day, says that J.J. Watt won't be going to Pittsburgh, Tim Allen.
Okay, that narrows the field a little bit.
Adds to that, Tennessee, Green Bay, and Buffalo are the three teams. Raiders as the dark horse.
Well, we're making a little cap space. We're going to invite, welcome back one of our own. And you and I have been staunch on that. He's coming to Green Bay.
Yeah, I still think so. I've seen things since that make me back off that stance just a little bit. But I'm still sticking with that prediction that J.J. Watt is coming to Green Bay.
I will be disappointed, but I wouldn't, you know, be shocked. I would be disappointed if it were just a money thing. But I wouldn't blame him. Let's put it that way. But if it comes down to a money thing, what's a few million between these guys? A few million? Come on.
We were talking earlier about the piece by Pete Doherty today, talking about how they can clear cap space to make signings like that of J.J. Watt. And in that article, Tim, he says that even with all the things that he does, hypothetically speaking, in that article to clear cap space, you're still not getting J.J. Watt with anything less than the hometown / Super Bowl chance to win a Super Bowl discount. And yeah. I still think that's the case. But from the day he announced that he was being released by the Houston Texans per his request, from that day, I've said, and I still got to think, that this guy didn't ask for that to go somewhere else and make money. He could have made money in Houston. He was due to make $17.5 million this year for the Houston Texans. I got to believe that this is for the chance to win a Super Bowl, probably at the top of his list, and also someplace where he can be happier than he was in Houston, because we've seen that situation just is not that great right now, Tim. And not the Packers check off both of those boxes probably better than anybody. If this is not about money and it's about winning a Super Bowl and it's about being somewhere where you can be happy, the Packers have gone to the NFC Championship twice and have come up just short and have the best quarterback in the league in Aaron Rodgers, and it's your home state and the team that you grew up rooting for. If this is about money, the Packers are probably out. I don't believe that this is about money at this point for J.J. Watt.
However, is this an indication that if this report is true, that if Pittsburgh's off the table and just Tennessee, Buffalo, Green Bay, and possibly Las Vegas, if those are still in the running, but the mere fact that Pittsburgh's off the table here, if that's true, doesn't that sort of take away the sentimental thing, or at least a degree of it?
You think the Packers have some cap problems. Pittsburgh is in a complete mess right now. Complete mess of a cap situation right now. And you know what? Buffalo is right around where the Packers are. So let's say Pittsburgh is out, okay? If he goes to Buffalo, it would be for the chance to win a Super Bowl. You ask me, Tim, and what I think about Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, I say the Packers and Aaron Rodgers have a better chance of giving J.J. Watt.
Don't matter. It doesn't matter. They're right there, Rami. They're right on the doorstep of the Super Bowl. They don't need that.
Buffalo?
Buffalo, yeah.
I mean, they made the AFC Championship. I can't say they're not.
They're good.
I'm just saying, who do you think has a better chance of getting to the Super Bowl in 2021? I'm taking Aaron Rodgers and the Packers over Josh Allen and the Bills. The Titans do have a little bit of money under the salary cap. So if it's about money, maybe Tennessee is the front runner. But of these teams that John Clayton lists here, and if you're just tuning in, John Clayton tells Andrew Filippone of CBS Sports Radio that J.J. Watt won't be going to Pittsburgh. Tennessee, Green Bay, and Buffalo are the three teams. Raiders are a dark horse. If this is the list, if this is what it's been narrowed down to, I feel better today about my prediction that J.J. Watt will be a Packer than I did yesterday, Tim.
I'm a little indifferent on this, only because the sentimental value of Pittsburgh and playing with his two brothers is now, you know, taken off his, you know, hot stove, if you will. But as long as Green Bay is still in that running, then, yeah, I think he's doing a little shopping around. They're weeding things out. It takes him a little time, as we talked about yesterday. Give him a little time. Give him a second. As he said, you know, I need a little time on this, and rightly so. I mean, honestly, to uproot, you know, where you're going to live for the next year or two. I mean, that's, I mean, you know what's that is like, Rami, having just done it.
Yeah.
Couple of times in the
last.
He
can just do what I did, though, and stay with mom and dad until he finds the right place.
That's true.
Right?
I think between all the brothers, mom and dad, they're set up pretty good, I would think.
I'm sure they have a guest room or at least a den that they can convert into something that JJ can stay in. I'm sure.
On the couch.
Something. They have to have a pull-out couch or a futon or something. I'm sure the Watts have room for JJ if he needs some place to stay up while he's looking for a place.
Now, from his perspective, discount the Las Vegas thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do like all three of those teams as a pretty viable chance for a Super Bowl. Obviously, one more than the other two, but both Buffalo and Tennessee, they both got a really, really good football team. And they're going to be back into the postseason, I believe, both of those teams, right back into the postseason, if not a deep run for either one, if not both. I mean, that may be the AFC title game for all we know. But Green Bay definitely looks better to get to the Super Bowl or even to win it than both Buffalo and Tennessee does.
You would think so. But again, on this list, I don't see anybody who has a better chance of winning a Super Bowl, and I don't see any place where, and I don't know J.J. Watt personally, but just knowing what I do know about him, any place where he'd be happier than as a Green Bay Packer. If those are the qualifications, if this isn't about money, and this list indicates that it's not about money, because actually I was wrong. I just looked up Tennessee's cap situation. They're not better than Green Bay or Buffalo. None of these teams have a lot of money to spend. So if this is the list, if this is what it's been narrowed down to and Pittsburgh is out, this has got to be about winning a championship, and it's got to be about where he can be happy. And Green Bay, Buffalo, Tennessee, the Raiders, as far as that list goes, I don't see any place that fits those criteria better than Green Bay and the Green Bay Packers. I just don't. I think he's going to be a Packer, folks. Rest easy. J.J. Watt is coming home.
I'm with you. Give him $6 million.
I think that's about what it would have to be in the 5 to 7 million range.
Okay, and then structure it as just a veteran minimum, and just give it to him as a bonus and deal with it later.
Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do, even if you have to invest a little bit of the future to make this.
But at
JJ
least there's news. There's well, if this report is true, at least there's some news narrowing things down for J.J. Watt.
And the Rami and Tim Show is your home for the latest on Watt Watch on 1250 AM The Fan. Circle back around to some Bucks talk. Rami and Tim, 1250 AM The Fan. Tim, I've been snacking on some of that carnivore salad from Robert's Specialty Meats during the breaks.
Okay. Yep.
It's like a mix of beef jerky, beef sticks, little cut up beef sticks, and various cheese curds. So every break, I'm just throwing, you know, a little piece of something in my mouth, keep the hunger away. And then I put on my mask to go get some water during the break to like walk through the hallways and go get some water.
Did you forget?
No, I just need a new mask now because it just smells like beef stick and cheese curds under there, man. I just got to throw this thing out and get
a
new mask.
I'm going to vomit right now. Wow.
It's the worst, dude. I didn't even think about it before I put it on. And by the time I got to the break room where I fill up my water bottle, I was like, woof, Jesus.
Yeah, you had to put that thought into all our listeners' heads. Yep. That mask has got to be wretched.
It's got to go, dude. Evan, you have masks in your car, right? You have some of those. Can you go grab me a new mask?
Yeah, do that for him.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Jesus. That was not a pleasant experience. Woof. Okay, last night, it was a pleasant experience watching the Milwaukee Bucks dominate the Timberwolves 139 to 112. And the Timberwolves are an awful team. I had bad thoughts watching that game last night. Get to those in a second. But first, the good. It's a terrible team, all right? The Timberwolves are a bad team. And I'm not saying you should feel totally relieved and everything is fixed with the Bucks because they were able to dominate the Timberwolves. But there were some really good signs in that game, including what Giannis said afterwards, when he said, when the game started, shots were there. Adetokounmpo said, of the painted area where he went 11 for 13, I shot a couple pull-ups, couldn't get to my pull-up, But I realized that I got to take my time because I knew I could get to the rim. I kind of felt good. Then I kind of slowed down. Coach Bud had the timeout, talked to myself. I said, I got to slow down, get to the rim. And Tim, I know different teams and different game plans are going to present different challenges and different opportunities for Giannis, but that's the mindset I want every night. If it's not there to get to the rim early, then pass it off. But ultimately, that's the mindset I want. I knew I could get to the rim. Got to slow down, get to the rim. That's what I want from Giannis every night. Take a few jump shots. Okay, sure, fine, cool. But get to the rim. That's that's hearing that after the game is exactly what I want to hear from Giannis more nights than not.
Yeah, he had a three. Nice mid-range jumper. I mean, he was knocking down his free throws. And again, yeah, let's consider the competition, but I'm never going to, you know, get on a team for blowing out a horrible team because that's exactly what should have happened. Forbes off the bench, 23. You had five in double digits. You just had a nice win. They never, you know, it reminded me of what the Bucks had been doing earlier in the season in chasing and trying to get that lead down to single digits. I mean, if you can cut it to 10 if you make a two here. You can get it to single digits if you make a three here. That's the situation they put their opponents in the last three consecutive games where they were chasing the Bucks. And you see now something must have turned here on last Thursday or Friday, Rami. You know, five-game losing streak, and then you know you saw a more competitive spirit, I guess, is what Budenholzer said. You're starting to see a few more fans in the stands. Budenholzer was very complimentary on you guys that were at the game. Last night says he could sense and feel you. That's pretty important too here. But something must have turned there. I don't know if it's this infamous, you know, team meeting or players only conversation that oftentimes will occur. But something went on there. Augustine to be in the starting lineup. More minutes for Thanasis. You're seeing some adjustments, and they clearly seem to be working. And again, the schedule is, you know, what it is. And they haven't been tough. I mean, it's been the Thunder Kings and the T-Wolves. But nonetheless, something feels a little bit different. Three-game winning streak, that does tend to solve some problems.
The other really encouraging sign in last night's game, I know, again, bad team. I know, but these are still encouraging signs. The Bucks, and this you're not going to replicate very often, even against bad teams, 62% in the first half and 55.6%. From three-point range. That's hard to recreate. But
79 points in the first half, Rami. 79.
16 off of Minnesota turnovers. And that's something, you know, we've talked about the defensive struggles plenty on this show of the Bucks this year, Tim. But one thing that we don't talk about enough, and I don't think maybe is noticed enough, is what the lack of defense has done to their transition points. The Bucks have been one of the best transition scoring teams in basketball since Coach Budenholzer took over, and that aspect of their game just hasn't been there this year, and they need that. That's something that they're going to need when they start going up against some of these better teams and we get closer to and into the postseason. And I said this earlier, in case you missed it, the second half of the schedule is out, and the Bucks get back-to-backs with the Celtics in March. They get back-to-backs with the Philadelphia 76ers in April, and then just about 10 days before the season ends, they'll get to see the Brooklyn Nets for back-to-back games and maybe give us a little preview of the Eastern Conference Finals. Hopefully. That would be a very fun series to watch. Yeah. I know we all have a certain outcome in mind that we'd like to see, but just from an entertaining NBA series standpoint, Bucks and Nets would be a great series to watch.
And that's one of those tests, sort of back-to-backs, shortly, you know, on the horizon of the playoffs. You gotta play up with those guys. And I don't know if the win's necessarily going to be, you know, paramount in one or two of those games. I mean, heck, who knows? With that few of games remaining, maybe the seeding might be all taken care of by then. We don't know. But nonetheless, you've got to send a message in that series, in that two-game back-to-backer.
A lot of guys have said this year, Tim, and I think Giannis is one of them, that the weird schedule this year and a lot of these back-to-back matchups, it gives you a little bit of a playoff taste or a playoff feel because you see what a guy and what a team will present and how you can react and vice versa because you're seeing that team in back-to-back games like you would in a playoff series. So it does kind of replicate or recreate the playoff experience a little bit, and I'm sure that late in the season, maybe even jockeying for a one or a two seed, is going to really have a playoff feeling when the Bucks and Nets get together about 10 days before the season's
can you
over.
Imagine?
Can't wait.
If the one seed's on the line here, and you know there's just a handful of games left, and two of them are against the Nets, that's big time. Then that's why, Rami, that's why, you know, bowl of snacks, Bucks game, remote control. It goes to a commercial break. You click over. You check on whatever else you want to check on.
At that Bucks. At that time, Tim, you'll be in full Brewers mode too. You'll be switching back and forth. This is why
everything.
This is why I have two TVs in my living room to keep up with just this kind of stuff right here. Can I give you a scary thought though? That's a pleasant and happy thought to me. Sitting down with some snacks and watching the Bucks and the Nets. Can I give you a scary thought?
Shoot.
The Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis could very easily be Karl Anthony Towns and the Minnesota Timberwolves. I just spent 2 years in the Twin Cities. I talked about this a little bit with the Ryan Saunders situation when they fired him and immediately hired Chris Finch. And I told you, Tim, that when I got to Minnesota, shortly after, they sort of blew out their front office and brought in who I think is a very smart basketball man in Gerson Rosas. And I saw a smart basketball man. I saw an overhaul in the operations and the scouting department. I saw a superstar centerpiece, MVP caliber talent in Karl Anthony Towns. And I was telling people on my show down up in the Twin Cities, I was like, man, I've seen this before. I think you might have the next Milwaukee Bucks here. And clearly it hasn't gone that way. And it's not a lot of missteps to go from where the Bucks are now to what they could have been in Karl Anthony Towns in the Minnesota. I mean, you're talking about one or two decisions that probably went the wrong way, Tim, from that time when I was saying that to where they are now, to create these two divergent paths of where the Bucks are and the progress that they've made versus the Timberwolves and where they are. We very easily could be sitting here in Milwaukee like they are up in the Twin Cities and watching an all-world, and you saw it on display last night, Karl Anthony Towns and Giannis were going back and forth. We could very easily be sitting here watching an all-world, all-NBA, MVP-caliber talent just completely go to waste like Karl Anthony Towns is right now in Minnesota. Count your blessings, Bucks fans, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, didn't the Timberwolves, didn't they just go through just, it wasn't but a couple of years ago, and again, I don't do Bucks for a living. But didn't they just go through a basketball for a living, I should say? Didn't they just go through bringing in some decent names and the hopes were high? And
that's what I'm saying, Tim, is I like a lot of the moves that they've made, and it's only one or two that's kind of, you know, one or two bad apples as far as decisions go that have spoiled the whole bunch there. I like some of the roster overhaul. I didn't like the Ryan Saunders hire from the beginning. That seemed like a meddling owner type of hire, because he has, I mean, Ryan Saunders has roots in that organization and already had the job on an interim basis and already had the good graces of the owner, Glenn Taylor, at the time. And I really felt like at the time, Gerson Rosas, their president of basketball operations, kind of had a coach forced on him. And that's one thing that they didn't do here. The owners hired basketball people and got out of the way of those basketball people and let them do their jobs. And that didn't happen in every decision that was made in Minnesota. And like I said, it's only one or two decisions, in my opinion. We don't know because we don't know what could have been. But in my opinion, it's just one or two decisions that took the two paths of those two teams in such differing directions. You know
what
I mean?
I'm grateful we're not the Timberwolves.
It does not.
Yeah, and very nice.
And it would not have taken much to end up there. I'm serious,
okay,
man. You should be thankful for that. You should absolutely be thankful for that. I feel so bad for Karl Anthony Towns, man. And
yeah, Green Bay, you're lucky you're not Jacksonville. So count your blessings.
No, it's not that. See? All right. This portion of Robbie and Tim is brought to you by Tally's Tap and Eatery. Wednesday is homemade dinner night with drink specials, including $3.50 on wine splits and $3 domestic bottles of beer. Tally's Tap and Eatery on Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Is Major League Baseball broken? Rami and Tim, 1250 AM The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!